Thanks for tuning in today to our Wednesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Acts. So let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
We'll be starting in Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 36. Now, you might recall after last week, Paul and the leaders of the church got together in Jerusalem to discuss some very serious matters. There are Judaizers that were coming up after the Gentiles are being saved and saying, hey, you need to be circumcised in order to be saved, and then you also have to adhere to the law of Moses, and there was some confusion. So they all got together, and they decided through the Holy Spirit that no, that is not necessary. It is faith alone in Christ alone. And so you don't have to be circumcised in order to be saved. You don't have to become a Jew and begin to follow the law of Moses in order to continue your relationship with the Lord. Again, it is faith alone in Christ alone. And so we went over that last week. And so here in verse 36, it says, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.'" So at this point, many days, period of time has gone by. They are now back at the church of Antioch there, which now has become the base camp for the church. They're in Antioch. And so they are there at that time, and all of a sudden Paul gets this wonderful idea, hey, let's go and visit the brethren. Let's see how they're doing. So through that first missionary journey that started through Cyprus all the way through Galatia, they're thinking, you know what, it's been a bit of time, let's go and follow up, let's kind of do some discipleship, see how everybody is doing from all the churches that we planted and seeing all those people come to know to saving faith, and let's pour into them further. So it's a great suggestion. And then that promotes Barnabas' suggestion in verse 37. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. The word determined there means that he is stuck to this idea. Great idea. Let's go visit the troops. Let's see how everybody's doing. And let's take John Mark. Which leads to then verse 38. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and not gone with them to the work. Paul is so at this point a little angry and miffed at John Mark. He can't even say his name. Look at this. I don't believe that we should take the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not got with them to the work. He doesn't even mention his name. So, verse 39. It seems that Barnabas wants to give John Mark another chance. It looks like Paul does not. Paul's more of the understanding, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. So we're not going to do that. Verse 39, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. The word contention means very sharp disagreement. It means to separate, it means to sever. So Barnabas stuck with his idea to take Mark with him. This is the last mention that we have of Barnabas in the book of Acts, as well as Mark as well. These two now kind of disappear from this early church history that we have here in the book of Acts. This is not to say that Paul was right and Barnabas was wrong. Remember who's narrating this. This is Luke, okay? Luke has been called to be able to narrate and give an account of what is happening through Peter and Paul. And so other people that are connected with Peter and Paul, he's going to report on. But those who then leave the presence of Peter and Paul, he doesn't report on them anymore. Okay? So it doesn't mean that Paul's right and Barnabas is wrong. Later on, history seems to confirm that these two apostles did make amends, because we see that Paul mentions Barnabas in 1 Corinthians 9:6. We also know that Mark later on in 2 Timothy 4:11 that Paul, as he's about to die, says, "Hey, get me with me my parchments and bring Mark, because he's much needed." And so there's actually been a repair of these relationships further on down the road. Now, the one positive thing that came out of this split is now there are two missionary teams going out instead of one. So that's a positive. So in verse 40, it says, Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now Barnabas, he departs with Mark to go to Cyprus. Cyprus is where they first went in their missionary journey. Well, Paul doesn't need to follow them. They're going to be taken care of through Barnabas and Mark. Barnabas, we know that is his hometown, Cyprus. We're going to see that Paul goes the back end where they ended up at the end of their missionary journey is where they're going to hit first this time. So he goes the other way. So we see that Paul here takes Silas. We mentioned Silas for the first time last week. Silas is one of the leaders there in the Jerusalem church. So he's a mature believer. He goes by his Roman name, Silvanus, in many other scriptures. He's one of the key individuals, again, leading the church there in Jerusalem. He had the gift of prophecy. He is, like I said, a very mature believer. So he's going to be accompanying Paul at this point. So we see Paul and Silas, they're going to travel through two territories. They're going to visit the churches that they had planted there. Again, as Barnabas goes to his hometown, we're going to find that Paul kind of goes to his hometown as he makes his way to Tarsus. And the specific ministry, strengthening the churches. Not so much evangelism, even though evangelism takes place, but more of discipleship is going to take place here, strengthening them in their faith. So, chapter 16, verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. So Lystra was the home of Timothy, where he's called here a disciple. So he's already a believer. This took place in their first missionary journey through there. Timothy becomes a believer. We see time and time again when we see Timothy, the word there means God honored, he's mentioned more frequently as Paul's companion than anyone else. Paul pours more into Timothy than anybody else that we read in Scripture. Two of the letters are written to him. He's been trained from childhood. We read in 2 Timothy 3:15, his mother is Jewish and her name is Eunice. She also has a believer in her grandmother, Lois, that we find out. But his father is Greek, we're told here in the text. And by this text, his father was Greek by the tense that tells us he's no longer alive. So he's dead at this point. So he has Jewish blood from his mother's side, but he has Gentile blood from his father's side. And then so verse 2, it says, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. So since he came to faith, he's had a great reputation with the local church there and with the brethren there. So, verse 3, Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. I've mentioned this time and time again. I've always felt this was taking men's discipleship a bit too far. So, and just so you know, we don't do that here, okay? Just a little disclaimer there. But as you're reading this, if you were with us last week, you're kind of looking at this and go, wait a second, why is Paul circumcising Timothy when we saw last week circumcision does not save you? What is going on here? It is faith alone and Christ alone. So why is Paul circumcising Timothy? Out of love. Remember we talked about last week? Either you're a stepping stone for someone's faith in the Lord or you're a stumbling block. And because Timothy has Jewish blood, if he's going to go minister to the Jews at all, they won't listen to him at all if they find out that he isn't circumcised. So why does he do it? He does it for the conscience sake of others. So he could be a better liaison ambassador for the person of Jesus Christ. Where that wouldn't have mattered to somebody who is a Greek trying to minister to a Jew. And so in order to have a better witness, that is why he does it. It's why Paul would later on say in 1 Corinthians 9:19, for though I am free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, Paul doesn't bring up the law to them. And so those who are without the law is without the law, not being without law toward God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. The weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This is Paul writing this, 1 Corinthians 9, after he wrote 1 Corinthians 8 that spoke of who those weak men are. The weak men are the ones that when meat is offered in the marketplace, they believe if you eat of that meat, you're actually worshiping idols because it's first offered to the idol before it ends up in the marketplace. Paul's saying, look, for those of us who have freedom in Christ, we understand meat is meat. It doesn't matter who it's offered to. You can buy that meat if it's a good piece of meat. Go ahead and enjoy, cook it any way you want. Enjoy that steak. However, if there's somebody who's with you and they ask you where the meat was that you're about to prepare for them, and you know by telling them we got it from the marketplace, you know that in their mind they're going to put two and two together and think, oh, it's okay to be a believer in Jesus Christ and also worship idols. Paul's saying, if that's the case, I will not eat meat. You do things for the conscience sake of others. And so for that weak individual, no, I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that. So this is why Timothy is being circumcised here, in order not to be a stumbling block as he reaches out to the Jews. That's why. Verse 4 of Acts 16, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which are determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. Again, you might recall that those decrees that they came up with there in the Jerusalem council was first that salvation was by faith alone in the person of Christ alone, justification by faith. And we went over that last week. Second thing, that fornication was forbidden to all. Thirdly, that meats offered to idols from animals that were strangled, blood that was forbidden as a point of fellowship with Jewish believers. So outside the issue of fellowship with Jewish believers, then some of those things were permitted. So, verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith, increased in number daily. The word strengthened there means to make firm. It means to make solid, like the muscles of a body. And so the Gentile believers here in the churches were strengthened by these decrees that were issued. Since now they clearly understand the basis of both salvation and spirituality, they now understand that it's by grace alone that they can grow spiritually. And the result was walking by faith in Christ alone, walking in faith knowing that it is Christ alone, faith alone, justified by Him. And you walk in love by not using your liberty to offend others. And by doing that, what happens? Church was strengthened, they increased in numbers. So, verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after that, they came to Mysia and they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So Paul wanted to go into what is now Turkey. The Holy Spirit says no, prevented him. Then he wants to go up to Bithynium, which is by the Black Sea up there. The Holy Spirit again said no, did not permit Paul. So in verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood, pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now Macedonia is across the Aegean Sea, and that is where Greece is, and that begins the mainland there of Europe. So God is calling them into Europe to preach the gospel there so evangelism can start to take place there in Europe. Now, we are not told how the Holy Spirit kept Paul from going to these other places. But there is an interesting theory that I think has a lot of validation to it in how God kept Paul from going. And there are those who think it's because of illness. Now, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 4, okay? There are those who think that maybe Paul got hit with an illness called Asian fever, so severe that it eventually affects your eyesight and can permanently affect your eyesight. Now, as Paul's talking to the Galatian believers here in Galatians chapter 4, he's reminding them how they first came to know the gospel. When it says in verse 13, Galatians chapter 4, verse 13, you know that because of physical infirmity, What do you think that means? Something physical, and you're infirmed, okay? So this isn't spiritual, all right? This is something that is of the flesh. This is a physical infirmity. This is some sort of illness. It says, you know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first. As I was coming through these towns, I got held up because of physical infirmity. And because of that physical infirmity, I was not able to go into Asia. I was not able to go up by the Black Sea. It zapped enough of my strength that I couldn't make those long distances. But I stayed here. But even in my weakened state, I was still able to preach the gospel to you. So, and my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject. None of you came to me and said, boy, Paul, if you had more faith, okay, if you had more faith, you could be healed by this. And so I'm not going to receive anything from you, a person who lacks such great faith. Don't you know God can heal you? Where's your faith? This is Paul, the great apostle Paul. He had some sort of sickness. He had some sort of illness. And it didn't hinder the people from hearing from him. You know why? Because what is he told later on? Guess what, Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, I am made strong, is what God would tell him later on. So he has some sort of infirmity. They didn't despise or reject him because of it, but you received me as an angel of God. The word angel means messenger. You received me as a messenger of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So there's some sort of illness, malady, infirmity that somehow affected his eyesight, okay? To the point where at the end of Galatians, you could read this on your own, but at the very end he says, and I'm here to prove to you that this letter is from me because look at the large letters that I use. Why? Because he has some sort of an eyesight problem going on here. And so he tells him here, he says, look, you received me so well as I brought the God. You received me so well that you were willing to even pluck out your own eyes if you could. If you could have helped me see better, if you could have helped me in any way. So he hangs out there in this area of Derbe and Lystra and Iconium, and those are all places in Galatia. And because of this illness, that's why he's there preaching to them, and this is how many of them came to faith, is during this time of his illness. Now the thought is, it was during this time that an attending physician came to his aid by the name of Luke. Now, as I go through this, you're kind of going, Dave, that seems like a lot of speculation. Oh, is it? Look at the next verse in Acts chapter 16. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we, notice how Luke says we, sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel to them. No longer are we seeing the words they and them doing this and that. It's now we and us. This is the first time that we see this in the account that we have here in the book of Acts. So we understand at this point Luke has joined him in his journey. Why? Because of this physical ailment that he suffered. And so Luke goes on to be with him at this point. And we see this all the way through Acts chapter 16. Then we see it drop off again. And then we see it come back again in Acts chapter 20. And so we see this pronoun, we and us, which speaks that Luke is now with him. So we see this number of the missionary group is now to four. You have Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. And in verse 11, chapter 16, it says, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis. Samothrace is an island halfway between Asia Minor and the Greek mainland there. So the understanding is that they went and kind of docked there for the evening, and then the next day they went into Neapolis in Macedonia. And so in verse 12, it says, and from there to Philippi, which is a foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. A colony means a Roman colony, Macedonia had been a Roman province since the year 146 BC. The Romans divided Macedonia into four different districts, this being the foremost or the first of those colonies there in Macedonia. So, and then it says, and we were staying in that city for some days. Now, here's a question for you. They're staying there. It doesn't mention that they're evangelizing at all. And the reason they're not evangelizing, if you ask me, is because they're waiting for a certain day into which first to present the gospel. What day do you think that would be? The Sabbath. Why? Because Paul would preach to the Jew first and then the Gentile. And wherever city he would go into, if there's a Jewish synagogue there, he would wait until the Sabbath, then preach the gospel to them, and then after that, he would then be able to preach to the Gentiles. To the Jew first, and then the Gentiles. So, they obviously arrived when it wasn't the Sabbath. The Sabbath wasn't the next day, a few days, so 3 or 4 days or so, and then it becomes the Sabbath in verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Why didn't they go to the synagogue? Because there was no synagogue. So, we know by Jewish law that a minimum of at least 10 Jewish men have to be over the age of 13 are required to maintain a public synagogue and a place of worship. And so if there's not enough adult men, then the worship must take place in a clear area, preferably by a riverside, preferably by a body of water that is moving. So, knowing this custom and law, Paul realizes there's no synagogue, I'll wait till the Sabbath, then I'm going to head down by the creek, okay, there by the riverside, and see who gathers to pray. And so this is what he does. And he sits down, he sees some people there, and he sits down, and he spoke to the women who met there. So right now, it looks like only women were present at this occasion. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Lydia means travail. It is not a Hebrew name at all, so she's not a Jew. Now, there are some, because the way this is phrased in the Greek, the word name there means called, and so a woman called Lydia heard us. Now, Lydia is actually a place, is a Roman province, and her home city of Thyatira was in the province of Lydia. And it could be that Lydia is not so much her personal name as it is where she is from. So she could be called, oh, that's that Lydian lady from Thyatira. Okay? So that's a very good possibility of what's going on here. So Paul's often, as we know, also kind of seen as being chauvinistic. How many people have heard that before? Paul's so chauvinistic when it comes to the roles of women in the church and things like that. Well, I find this very interesting. He shows how equally important women are, that he goes down and ministers to them and preaches the gospel to them. Don't let anybody ever tell you that. There are specific roles, absolutely, for men and women. But one role is not more valuable than the next. They're all valuable. One is not superior and the other one inferior. They are just roles that God has there for men and for women. But there's equal footing at the cross. And women are just as valuable to God as men are. And it's not one above the other. They're equal. But they do have different roles and responsibilities. From the holy love of God, we will meet in the golden city.
Well, that concludes today's edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Tune in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of Acts. Fall is here, which means it's time for our annual Harvest Festival. On October 31st, Calvary Castle Rock will be hosting a wonderful free event for the whole family. The night will include carnival games, inflatables, high strikers, face painting, funnel cakes, food, and of course, lots of candy. So come on out and join us from 4 to 8 p.m. October 31st. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.